when I step back and I zoom out and I think about all the work that God is doing around the world, and the work that he's doing right here in Cornerstone, but the work that he's also doing in Delaware County, the work that he's actually also doing in the southeastern region of Pennsylvania, the work that he's doing in our nation, the work that he's doing in our world, it's like, oh man, I get fired up inside because our God is who he says he is, and it is awesome to be a part of his body. Yes? You and I are the body of Christ. What an awesome and incredible privilege that is. Over the last few years, I've been meeting with local pastors in Delaware County on a monthly basis. And we get together and we pray for one another. We pray for each other's congregation. We walk through hardships together. We listen and worship. We worship God and we listen to what God is saying to the church, capital C church, right, in Delaware County. And we've got this perspective that we're not a bunch of separate entities, but we are the body of Christ, that we are connected because we are in Christ together. And we are taking steps towards demonstrating that with our congregations. One of the things that we're going to be doing very soon, and we actually just started, is an initiative called RIP Medical Debt. And essentially, what RIP Medical Debt is that we discovered that there is $1 million of medical debt in Delaware County right now for people who are not able to pay for their medical debt. There's about $1 million worth of medical debt here in Delaware County. Well, here's the good news. Through this RIP medical debt, and churches of Delaware County have gathered together, and we're saying, hey, let's all pitch into this. And what happens is that all we need to raise is $15,000 to eliminate $1 million of medical debt here in Delaware County. All right, and so me, myself, and all these other pastors who gathered together are presenting this to our churches, and we are asking the people, the body of Christ, to get alongside of us and to buy into this, in a sense, to help us raise $15,000 so that by Christmas time, we will have eliminated $1 million of medical debt for our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones here in Delaware County. And this is an incredible thing, because what will happen next is that once we all, there's about 15 churches that are all involved in this. It's about $1,000 a church, right? It's not a lot when you really look at it. And raising $15,000 will eliminate $1 million worth of medical debt here in Delaware County. And then what will take place is that about around Christmas time, all these people who had that debt will receive a letter, and this letter will essentially say something along the lines of this: our debt has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. Your debt is now paid in full because of Jesus Christ. And so what it will have is all the different churches that are joined in on this and all around this letter. So the people will know that, hey, God is looking out for them. That God is involved and God is around and God is moving and he's active in their lives. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of this. And so this week what I'll do is I'm going to shoot out an email to the church, and that'll have a secure website where you can give, and just basically all you have to do is click I want to donate, and you'll be able to see one of those thermometers of, you know, how much money is raised and all that. And right now I think there's only been a $1,200 raised, and we're looking for $15,000 by Christmas time. It's definitely doable, especially when you think there's 13 or 14 churches in Delaware County that are going to be a part of this. So I will be posting things on Facebook. I will also be shooting them out in email so that you guys can just hear a little bit more about it. It's legitimacy, because some people are like, what? That sounds a little bit sketchy, you know? But it is real, and actually people are talking about it all over the country. It's actually even been on late night TV shows that churches are gathering together, and people are gathering together to eliminate medical debt in our country. And that's a good thing. And it'll be with a caveat of, Jesus has paid all my debt. Your debt has been paid in full by Jesus Christ in the Church of Delaware County. Isn't that cool? All right, cool. So I will send that stuff out to you. I'm excited about that because I believe that God is going to be doing a lot of things in the very near future as the church in Delaware County and in this region, not just Cornerstone and not just Drexel Hill Church, Liberty Church, and Faith Baptist and all these churches, but God is combining his church together. He's uniting and unifying his church together to have a broader and deeper impact. And I'm fired up about it, and I hope that you will get fired up about it as well. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. Today we are going to close up the series, the I Am series, where we've been looking at Jesus declaring himself with these statements that start out as I am. Right? So he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we're going to see Jesus' last statement, an I am statement, as he's about to enter his final hours of his life, and he's about to be presented with the cross and give his life for us. So Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are in your presence. We are here this very moment. We've come here and gathered together because you have invited us by your name. You have invited us by your benevolence and your love and your grace and your care and your mercy and your faithfulness. And so here we are. And so, Lord, we right in this moment, we open up our hearts and we open up our minds and we are attentive to you and you alone in this moment. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15. Again, here's a little bit of the context of where we're going to be jumping in. Jesus has just had the Last Supper or the Passover meal with his disciples. And just the verse prior to where we're going to read, he basically says, all right, now let's get up and go. So the context again is Jesus sitting at the Passover meal with his disciples, and he's just hours away from laying down his life for the sins of the world. And so here's this picture of Jesus, and they're getting up from the table, and now they begin to start walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, where you see where we know that John 17 is when Jesus is praying right before his arrest, right? And the scripture tells us that he was sweating blood. He was so distressed that he was sweating blood at this time. And so this is the context. And so I want you to imagine Jesus and his disciples standing up from that Passover meal and beginning to walk in the nighttime through the city of Jerusalem, outside the city gates, and they begin to walk into the countryside, up to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, it is a common cultural practice in that time for anybody who is walking through a vineyard that you are allowed to help yourself to the fruit of the vine. So you're not allowed to like cut off big clusters and basket them up and take them home. And you know, you can't take that. You weren't allowed to do that. But it was a gentleman's agreement that, hey, if you're passing through this vineyard to get to somewhere, you're more than welcome to help yourself and enjoy the fruit of the vine. And so this is what I can just imagine Jesus on his way up to the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples, and they're walking up in the countryside and they're passing through a vineyard, and Jesus takes an opportunity for a teachable moment to his disciples. Now again, Jesus is just, these are his final hours, probably his last couple of hours that he is with his disciples, his closest followers, and he says, and he teaches them this message right here. In John 15, here we go, verse 1 through 8. Jesus says to them, and again, imagine him just touching them. I can just imagine Jesus grabbing some grapes and enjoying them, and he's speaking about what he's seeing. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. A vine dresser is also a gardener. He's the one that takes care of the vines and cares for he tills the soil. He's a gardener, okay? So I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch that is in me and does not bear fruit, the gardener will take away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, and they're thrown into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Bronwyn, could you put up that picture of the vine and the grape for me? So here's Jesus again, a teachable moment with his disciples, and he presents this word picture of a vine and branches and fruit and a gardener. All right, so the vine is that thicker thing that's moving through the top of the screen, and the branches are attached to the fruit. They're flexible. They're not very strong. They're flimsy. They're little shoots, right? They're tender branches. And so here is Jesus creating this word picture where he is the vine. We are the branches who are supposed to bear this luscious, beautiful cluster of fruit. How many of you love fruit? Fruit's like one of my favorite things in the world. Is there anything more refreshing than fruit? You know, especially like on a hot day, a fresh cantaloupe or something. There's something about fruit that is just so satisfying. Maybe because it's got wet and it's got substance all in the same thing. So you're like, your thirst is quenched and your stomach is filled all at the same time. I don't know what it is, but fruit is just an amazing thing. It is truly a gift that God has given to the world. And so here is Jesus saying that you and I are the branches that are to now bear clusters of fruit in our lives. And so that too can be a gift to the world. And so Jesus is here, he's teaching them a deep truth to his followers. Again, in his possibly his final hours with them. Maybe the last hour, I'm not even sure. But here is Jesus, and he's taking this moment to say, hey guys, I want you to understand something now. I am the vine. My Father, the Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. And so what Jesus is getting at here, he's telling his followers, like, look, now this is where your purpose kind of begins right here. I'm leaving now, and I won't see you again in person for a long time. But here's what's happening now. God has a purpose for each one of you. God has a purpose for each one of us in this room. You see, Jesus is talking to his followers, and here you and I are followers of Jesus Christ. These words are essential to where we are. God has a purpose for each one of us in this room. And you know what our purpose is? Our purpose is to fulfill his purpose. That's why you're alive. My purpose in life is to fulfill the purpose of the Father and to glorify the Father. Jesus' purpose on this earth was to glorify the Father and fulfill the Father's purpose. And so it's true with us. We are alive today, not for ourselves or to find our own purpose, but we are alive today for him. You exist, you live, you move, you have your being because God has caused you to be alive. And so we are alive to bring glory to the Father. This is our purpose. And so we get a clear picture in this word picture that Jesus is doing of what our purpose kind of looks like. He kind of puts it into perspective, and he says, your purpose is to bear fruit. Our purpose, my purpose, your purpose. Anybody who follows Christ Jesus, whoever is in Christ Jesus, right, that's what he says. If you are in me, you are a branch. I am the vine, you are the branches, and any branches in me must bear fruit. And so it then becomes that our purpose, we take on the purpose of that God has given to us to bear his fruit. And the entire premise, the entire goal and objective here is to please the Father. Right? The gardener is the one who plants the vine, and tends to the vine, and tends to the branches, and he's the one that prunes, he's the one that cares, he's the one that shapes and everything in the garden. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and our purpose in life is to bear fruit that glorifies the Father. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay, so what does it mean to bear fruit? Bearing fruit is simply to develop and produce the life of Christ in our lives. Right? That's one of the easiest ways that I can explain bearing fruit. But it doesn't change the fact of the matter that you have been created to bear fruit. This is your purpose, and this is my purpose. You were designed, I was designed, to bear the life of Christ, to produce the life of God, right? And that's what fruit is. You're bearing the very life of God for all to see and taste and to enjoy. And so that those who taste and see and enjoy are then able to see, wow, this is the life the Father gives. This is the life that the Father gives. And so the vine supplies its life to the branches, and then the branches take that life to you and use it to bear fruit. Now, again, here's the context Jesus is in. Jesus is saying, guys, this is my final hours. I'm no longer going to be the one who is only bearing the fruit of the Father on this earth. This is now going to be something that I'm passing on to you, and you're going to join me in this mission. I'm no longer the one who's going to demonstrate the life of God for the world to see, because I'm not going to be with you much longer. This is now your purpose. This is why you are alive. This is the reason why God gave you breath in your lungs, so that you're the ones that God has chosen to make him known to the world. What an awesome privilege it is. What an awesome purpose it is to be alive, isn't it? That I exist to reflect and bear the fruit and the life of my God. It's awesome. It's such an incredibly high calling that we have been called to. Well, how do I know that I'm bearing this fruit? Like, what does that look like? What is this fruit? In Galatians chapter 5, if you're taking notes, you might want to jot that down. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we get a clear list of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll just ramble through this fruit and we don't stop necessarily to think about that. Like, am I bearing a huge, beautiful cluster of love, for example? Let's take one of those fruits because we don't have time to go through all of them. But like, take the fruit of the Spirit this week, and I really encourage you to go through them and present it before the Lord and yourself and do a self-reflection and self-assessment. Like, how well am I doing in producing the love of God in my life? And this isn't just a love that is gushy with feelings. I love people. I get along with everybody, and I don't have any problems with anybody else. But the love that God demonstrates to us, a love that is sacrificial, a love that is selfless, a love that actually puts my preferences to the wayside and I prefer somebody else instead. That's love. A love that lays my life down, my desires, my wants, and then instead it invests it into another person to help build them up to be the person that God created them to be. That's love. Like, how much, God, am I bearing the fruit of love? And so again, I encourage you to go through Galatians 5 and just this week, maybe even every day, just focus on one of those fruit and say, God, I desire more than anything to bear this fruit in my life. In 2 Peter, he mentions some other fruit. He mentions diligence as a fruit of the Spirit and moral excellence. That's the fruit that we're to bear as well. Moral excellence? Like, how well am I really doing in the fruit of moral excellence? Right? And Peter says, I love what Peter says. He says, if these qualities are increasing in your life, if they are growing, if these things are ever increasing, then they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great safety word, verse right there, right? If I can just make sure that the fruit of the life, the fruit of the vine is being produced in my life, that the life of Christ is continually being produced in my life, then it will keep me from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news, man. That's good news. It's a measuring stick, isn't it, of how well we're doing. So we look at this and say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to produce the life of Christ in our own lives? Well, there really is only one way. There really is only one way. And the only way that we are able to bring glory to the Father by bearing the fruit that He desires is to abide in Christ. Is to abide in Christ. In verse 4 again, Jesus says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, right? Unless that branch is abiding, unless it's connected to and remains connected to the vine, it cannot produce fruit. And Jesus said, neither can you unless you abide in me. But what does this word abide mean, right? It's a beautiful word, actually. It's really a beautiful word. It's not a word that we use too much of these days, but it's a fancy word that means to remain in, right? It's a word that means to not depart from. The word abide means to continually be present with. Oh, man. So here it is. If our goal, if God is desiring from our lives is to bear fruit, if this is to glorify the Father with our lives, then the only way we're going to be able to produce the God kind of life that He desires is if we remain continually present with Jesus Christ. And we live as if He is right, standing right by our side in every situation, in every circumstance. That's how you abide in Christ. And that's how you will make sure that you will not be ineffective and unfruitful in this life. And so, I could just imagine, here's the disciples, and I always say, I put myself in the disciples' shoes when I'm reading this stuff, and I'm thinking about how I would respond or what I would be thinking, what would be going through my mind. And they didn't know Jesus was about to be arrested and crucified hours later. They didn't know that. But here is Jesus saying if this is your purpose in life for you to bear fruit, to glorify the Father, to produce fruit, is to abide in me. The only way is to remain continually present with me. But Jesus also said to them, but I'm leaving. Right? He's like, I'm going now, and where I'm going, you can't come with me, but what you have to do is you got to continually be present with me. Like, what an oxymoron, right? Like, this is like, what are you saying here, God? But here's what it is. Jesus is basically saying, you are to model and to reflect the life that I lived out for you. That's what it means. To live and to model and reflect the life that I've lived out for you. I mean, these disciples, they traveled with Jesus for 3 years, and they heard the words that He spoke, and they heard the boldness and the authority that He spoke with. They also heard Him talk gently and with tenderness to some other people. They observed how Jesus interacted with sinners, and they observed how He interacted with outcasts. They saw a life in Jesus that was disciplined. And it was focused on the mission at hand, right? They watched a man in Jesus who was full of humility and who came to this earth not to be served by everyone, but to serve others. They witnessed the life in Jesus that was surrendered to the will of the Father. And now He's revealing to His closest friends and subsequently to us as well, that this is now our role. This is our created purpose. And the only way to produce this type of life is to abide in Christ. Remain close to Him. Remain present with Him as if He's living right by your side, because the reality is, the truth is that He is. Is that He is. Jesus goes on to say that apart from me, you and I are unable to do anything. Apart from Christ, we're unable to do anything. Now, Jesus doesn't just spit words out, right? He doesn't just allow words to fly out of His mouth. This isn't just some generality. This is the stark truth right here. This is the reality. And He's saying, guys, you are not going to be able to achieve anything of spiritual value. You will not be able to achieve anything of eternal significance independently of me. You just can't do it. You see, a branch cannot produce fruit unless it is abiding in the vine. You cannot produce the life of the life that produces from the vine into you. It cannot happen unless if you are departed from the vine. And so Jesus is like in His final hours, guys, if you get anything, I need you to remember this, is that you are now created for the purpose of glorifying the Father with your life so that you bear the fruit of His life so that the world can see who He is and His character and His nature and His attributes and what He's all about. It's now your role as you live on this earth to bear the fruit of God, but you cannot do it. It's an impossibility unless you are close to me, unless you are reflecting my life, unless you are living out my life on an everyday basis. This is the encouragement that we have. And you know, we have in this word picture a picture of the garden, the gardener, right? And here the gardener is, and he does two things that we see in this scripture, and it says in verse 2 that he takes away and that he prunes. This is the role of the father, the gardener, right? This is the one who is responsible for caring for the vine. He's the one that is responsible for taking care of all the vineyard. And Jesus says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the gardener will take away. Now, I was really careful to make sure I get this right. I looked up those words. Like, what does that mean? Because here it says that for every branch that is in me, all right, so that indicates that we have someone is in Christ but is not yet bearing fruit, right? And so what those words he takes away means, it doesn't mean that he grabs them and tosses them away and throws them out, which is what I originally read it to be, like, oh, okay, I better be bearing fruit. But here's what Jesus is saying. You see, what happens is when in a vineyard, and you ever seen like a grape vineyard and they have those like fences and the wires in the vineyard and the vines that like, grow on the vines? You know what I'm talking about? It follows the path of the fence that they put up. Well, what will happen is that many of those branches, as they're growing on the vine, will grow along the ground, right? And I'm sure you've seen this, and maybe in your backyards, you see vines that are growing in the ground. My daughter just spent the whole summer. I gave her a big project. I gave her a quarter of our yard that is just overgrown with deep bedded vines. And I was like, baby girl, if you take care of this, because it was covered in poison ivy, right? And I get it. Like, I can just look at poison ivy and it'll just be all over me. But she she's not allergic to poison ivy, so she can just like roll in it and eat it and chew it. So I was like, look, I really need this done in our yard, and I'll take, and so she's working her tail off, digging up these deep roots, and she had till yesterday. Yesterday was the 31st, right? Today's the 1st. She had till the end of the summer, the 31st, well, that's her summer, to finish, and so she did it. But anyway, so you'll notice that when in the vines that grow on the ground, and what happens is that when the rain comes and the mud splashes up, that the vine that grows along the ground is covered in mud and filth, and it's gross and it's clean. And when a vine is covered in mud and dust and is unclean like that, it's not able to bear fruit. And so what Jesus is saying here is that the gardener then comes along and he bends down, and the word he takes away actually means that he lifts up and raises higher. And he repositions it so it'll grow. That's what the word means there. To take away means to lift up, raise up, reposition it for growth. And so what this is saying is that Jesus is saying is that the gardener will bend down, pick up the branches that have been growing along the ground, and what he will do is that he will dust them off and clean them off and reposition them so that they have the opportunity to grow. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is what the Father does, is that he takes every branch in him that does not bear fruit. It's a reference to the gardener lifting us up out of the miry mess, dusting off the weight and the filth of this world, cleansing us and repositioning us so that we have an opportunity to grow in him. That's incredible! That's an amazing God. And if you think back to it, like I remember when I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I believe the scripture says that when I surrendered my life, then at that moment I am now in Christ. I'm united with Christ, right? And so I believe that. And so now I'm a branch that's in the vine, but my life was a mess. My life was a mess, and it was covered with the filth and the weight of this world. And what he's getting at here, Jesus is saying, is that the gardener will then take you and lift you up, clean you off, dust you off, and reposition you so that you're able to bear his fruit. That is a good God. That is a good God. Amen? And believe it or not, there's another work gardener does. And Mike, can I invite you guys to join me up here, please? And we're going to respond to this message this morning. This one's a little bit heavier, but I don't want you to see it as heavy. And that is that another work that the gardener does is that he prunes. How many are familiar with pruning, right? Like just the word pruning sounds ouch. We can all have the picture in our minds of those little hand shears that are sharp and can really snap through a three-quarters of an inch branch or whatever, or an inch branch or something. And so here's this picture of God the gardener who is pruning. Now, pruning is a process, right? And it's and I want you to see this process as the beautiful work of the gardener. I don't want you to see this process as God angry or his wrath against the vine. I want you to imagine a gardener who loves his vine. And he longs for it to bear abundance of fruit. Right? And in order for the vine to bear an abundance of fruit, in order for the branches to bring forth the life that comes from the vine, there's got to be pruning. There's these unwanted sprouts or shoots that we're all familiar with that'll grow off to the side of the branches that are unfruitful, and they actually suck the nutrients of the vine out, and it gets directed in a place that's unfruitful. We all have places in our lives, areas of our lives that are unfruitful. And so what the gardener does in his love and in his grace, he cuts away those unfruitful areas of our lives and directs the growth back into where it's supposed to go, so that we will be able to bear not only a little bit of fruit, but abundance, a bountiful amount of fruit. This is a work of grace that brings forth more of his life, the life of Christ, in and through us. And the purpose is to glorify the Father. And so, folks, the message this morning is very simple. Abide in Christ. That is the essence of this lesson that Jesus is telling his disciples in his final hours on earth. If you remember anything, guys, stay close to me. Live presently with me, and the life of the vine will flow through you, and you will bear much fruit to glorify the Father. Jesus said in verse 11, just following these things, he said, "These things I've spoken to you are that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus is saying these words. These words were written for you. They were preserved for you to be your lifeline to Christ. To remind us that we have a purpose, and that purpose is to bear the life of God in our lives for the world to see, taste of, and enjoy. And then they will learn to see that, where is the source of that life coming from? Why are you so loving and joyful and patient and peaceful? And why do you have such discipline? Why are you morally excellent in the way you go about your business and the life that you have? Why? Where's the source of all that good stuff? And you will have an opportunity to say, it's in the life of Christ that flows through me. Because I abide in him, and he abides in me. Can I ask you to stand this morning? We're just going to, Mike, if I could just get your hearts in a posture to worship God through this next song. And then I'll just come up here, and then I'll pray for us all, and we'll dismiss from there. But right now, just close your eyes. But if you need to see the lyrics, then open your eyes and see them. But allow your heart to be open to this message right now, and just allow it to take deeper root in you right now as we sing the song.